Okay, here we go. Welcome, everybody. This is Monday, July 5th, and welcome to the Win-Free Monday Night Conference line. And thank all of you for taking this day. This is a holiday for many of you. It's a day people are celebrating this holiday, and thank you for being here and listening in to us. And we had an interesting topic for tonight. You know, whenever I announce a topic like that, I go through a little bit of trembling, because there is a lot of things going on in the world that we could say are not necessarily good news, or they certainly... Oh, yeah. Right. Thank you very much. We got to record. That's my producer.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. You are not authorized to start a recording at this time. Please contact customer service if you need assistance.
That means I put in the wrong code.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Welcome all those of you who are listening on our replay line. And this has been, you know, a Monday night conference call. And the topic tonight is not, you know, somewhat, I won't even say controversial. Do you know, we've been doing this interaction for about 8 years. And, of course, 2 years prior to that, I was studying David Wilcock and reading his interactions with what we could call interdimensional sources. And when I started writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there was all this information in there that was prophetic, really describing what's going on our planet right now. But in the year 2000, it was not so obvious these things were forthcoming. And this has been something that we've observed, we've monitored, we've considered. Many of you have done the same thing. And, you know, the words that come to my mouth right now is, if it looks like a rose, it smells like a rose, it feels like a rose, it's probably a rose. And what I mean by that is, for many, many, many months, we said, this is an experiment. Is this really happening? Are we doing what we think we're doing? Who are these voices that are communicating with us? And I believe that for anyone that's taken their time to pay attention, we've proven, at least in as much as it can be proven, that there is some reality behind what we are doing. And what does it mean to prove it? Well, you know, just to outline some of those things, because when you use the word proof, you think of science, you think of, well, did you do a double-blind experiment? Did you do this? And I don't think we'll ever meet the criteria of science, but we will meet a criteria of statistical improbability. What are the chances that all this could happen in over such a long period of time and it just be coincidence? And if it's not coincidence, what is the explanation? And number one, we have people and their families and their friends that look like people from past lifetimes. We have various miraculous phenomena. We have people who have had healings on this line. We've had my sister, which was the first one. And we're talking to consciousnesses that explain who they are, where they're from, and how to connect with them. And particularly on our Sunday grid healing, people are connecting. people are making the connection. At least that's what they say. And, you know, we're also doing all this without a profit motivation. That's not because I don't need money. It's because when you try to make money doing this kind of thing, people discredit you. They think you're doing it for the money. So people do give donations, and I am very, very grateful, myself and Terry and Daphne and everyone on the center of this, are very, very grateful for your donations, because that's not required. We're giving 3 conference calls a week. We're giving message a day, every day. We're giving the Spirit Channel, which is the recordings of those conference calls. And we're giving the Wind Channel, where I present from my point of view those things which I think will be of interest and useful and helpful to all of you. And it's an incredible thing that we're putting out and not charging for it. And myself, why am I doing that? The reason I'm doing it is because I happen to believe that in this work that we've done, in this work that we've created over a number of years now, there has been a reoccurring theme that there's going to be a division of souls after this lifetime. What is a division of souls? Well, if you're metaphysical, you may understand this language easier than if you're not metaphysical, but I'll try to make this simple in the way that I see it, or the way that I understand it. And I have to try to understand it in human terms, because I'm in a human observing the other realms from my human side, just like you do. So it seems to me that a human has an energy field, which is a mirror image, potentially, of the entire universe. But we are contracted in our energy fields. Our energy fields are different than our bodies. They expand out from our bodies, and they go on potentially very far and very wide. But in reality, let me...
Entry and exit chimes are off. Callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
In reality, all of us have compressed energy fields. All of us do. And we don't even know that's true because we're used to living in our reality system. I live in Sedona, and there's all these beautiful red rocks and mountains. And even I can take them for granted, and they become just normal, everyday scenery. Well, I remember when I was younger, I was in a lot of pain, but I didn't know I was in pain because I was in pain every day. And one day somebody gave me a massage, and my pain went away or lessened dramatically. And suddenly I had a reference point for what it felt like not to be in excruciating pain. But otherwise, I was all like this. I was so stuck in my body, and I didn't know what this is. It just seems how you are. Everyone who's listening, you feel like who you are, but that's not who you are. That's just what you're used to. You're used to feeling that way, and so you continue to feel that way. How do you out of feeling who you are and into an expanded matrix? How do you do that? Well, the very first step is you've got to create the idea that that's possible. Because if you don't think it's possible, you're not going to even look for that to happen. You know, I would say in Christian terms, creating, and this is not a Christian group, this is a law of one, I don't even know, it doesn't have a name, but there is a huge amount of truth that corresponds to many of the things that we talk about in the ethic of the Christ on this planet. And in Christian terms, when you look for something, before you find it, it's called faith. It's like faith to me is a middle step. It's not an end step, it's a middle step. Faith is think there's something out there, and I'm going to be open to the possibility. I'll even have faith that it's out there, but it hasn't presented itself to me yet. I can't prove it to myself. But there's enough evidence, there's enough other people talking about it, that maybe I'll adopt that perspective. So if you want to expand your matrix, the first step is to have the faith that it's possible. And invariably, you're going to think you can do it with your mind. You're going to think somebody can show you a technique or train you, and it's not going to work that way. The mind is like a filter. It's not a control mechanism for your soul. It's a filter for discernment. It's a filter for observation and putting patterns together. But you cannot, with your mind, shift your consciousness. The most powerful force in shifting your consciousness is your intention, your total commitment to wanting to reaching for it, to say, I will accept nothing else. And there's a very important reason to do that right now. And it's, now, this is where, if you haven't studied my materials, if you haven't read my books, if you are not coming into the conference calls regularly, I'm going to say something that you're not going to know is true. And you may not know it's true even if you do read my materials, but you cannot believe something I say because I say it. You have to do your own due diligence. And within the context of the materials we've put out to the world, there is a tremendous amount of evidence that this is true. And it doesn't just go with my materials. There's other correlative people out there saying similar things that are channeling. There's the history of Jesus and what he said about this period. And we are looking at an esoteric view of something that has never happened in the history of mankind. So how do you know it's going to happen if it's never happened? How do I know it's going to happen? Well, in my case, this is where I say it's important for you to read the materials. It's important for you to attend the conference calls and pay attention over a period of time to see how it holds together. Because the story of how everything occurred for me is incredibly powerful. And it's not based on me saying platitudes or saying these voices or saying that. There are many, many interlocking circumstances that it's hard to explain without the end results being true. And what is happening this lifetime that is so incredibly important? What is it? And why is it more important than life itself? Well, here's why. Here's what's being said. And again, I'm not going to say this for you to believe it as truth. I'm going to say this as it's been something that's come through my channelings, the people I've studied channeling, through history, many, many things, through the Hopis, through the indigenous tribes, and it has to do with a division of souls. It has to do with a lifting of the Earth's vibration from third density to fourth density, or from third chakra to fourth chakra, or from a paradigm of power to a paradigm of love, an open heart. And in order to move through this shift with the earth, your heart has to be open slightly more than half. Your energy field has to be expanded into the area of the law of one. When your heart is open, you are automatically tuning into the law of one because you perceive everything and everyone as part of yourself, as an extension of yourself. An open heart does not mean mushy love. It does not mean romantic love. It does not mean tribal love. It means universal love. And when you're in that space, people will change around you. You don't have to talk to them. Your energy will create a shift that will cause other people to also shift. And that's a reference point for an open heart. And if you don't open your heart, now, you know, we've talked a lot about how the negative on this planet and other realms is doing their best, and they're doing a good job to keep people in fear. And fear is the antithesis to an open heart. And when you're in fear, it's easy to enslave you. It's easy to enslave your energy. So an open heart frees you from this dimension. It starts moving you into a space of a higher dimension. And the way to get an open heart is to create an intention that is so powerful that you won't accept anything else. It may mean that you have to go through a certain period of suffering, because everyone has patterns that are stuck in them from many lifetimes. And to unstick those patterns, oftentimes they have to surface. And when they surface, they don't feel good. And so you have to be willing to go through those patterns to get over them. Some of us, maybe not everyone, but most of us. And one of the things that keeps people from having an open heart is their unwillingness to go through those patterns, an unwillingness to surface those ancient things. But if you do open your heart, you will graduate this realm. And if you don't open your heart, you will, now this is, I'm saying this is fact, but don't you take it as fact. This is one of those things you have to research. If you don't open your heart, what they say is you have to repeat this realm. In other words, you have many, many more lifetimes in a planet similar to this, in episodes of reincarnation, but the chances are it's going to be far more difficult than this planet, because those people with open hearts won't be there. And you might be a slave for millions of years to the negative. That's what they're telling me. And this has been going on for a long time in my conversations. So I'm not telling this to you to scare you. That's the last thing I want to do. And usually I'm not so direct about this. But I'm telling it to you to motivate you, to motivate you to increase your intention so that you have no choice but to get through your anguish, your suffering, your pain, your sorrow, your judgment, your contempt, and all the petty things that are part and parcel of having a life in this realm. Because if we are going to shift this realm, we have to shift ourselves. And if you're waiting for an outside authority to shift you, and that it doesn't matter whether that outside authority is our president, our Dan Rather on the news, or Jesus Christ. If you're waiting for Jesus Christ, and you think finally that's going to come, I don't have in my story that it's going to work that way. They have said that in this period of time, the Christ consciousness is to be born in each one of us. And what's the Christ consciousness? Having an open heart, having compassion, living the golden rule, seeing yourself in other people. But not to do this in your mind. You have to do it from your heart. I mean, do you understand the difference between from your mind and from your heart? From your mind says, geez, I want to graduate this realm. I better be nice to people. That's in your mind. That's not in your heart. In your heart means you have to look at someone else and care. And I said, why am I doing these calls? Because I know a certain few amount of people are going to shift their path because we've been doing this. And we've been establishing an energy on these calls that people have become familiar with, that has become part of them, and they have released themselves from the energies of the third dimension to a great extent. And, you know, I don't even know that I'm doing this. I don't walk into a room and have people applauding. I don't have people spending thousands of dollars sending it and saying, thanks, Lynn. I don't even know it. It's strangers. It's people like you who are listening that take the motivation, that take the cue and say, I got to make this work for me. I want to graduate this realm. I can't do it for you. I don't want anyone to think that following me as a human is going to make any difference to whether you graduate. I can't assume that responsibility. All I can do is set up these calls 3 times a week, speak to you from my own heart, give you the lowdown as it is, bring in this bridging of dimensions where we actually speak over and over and over again to those sources in other realms that have been giving us loads of wisdom and guidance and sometimes miracles that are transforming us. But are you coming to all 3 calls? Suppose I was charging $100 a week. It would be cheap. You know, suppose I was charging $20. We're not charging. You know, one of the things is when it comes to money, one's caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, or I should say the devil in heaven, because if you don't charge for something, people think it's worthless. And if you do charge for it, they think you're exploiting them, especially on spiritual matters. But in any case, we don't charge. People sometimes give donations, and we appreciate that. And people, you know, we have a system where we have special offers, and people spend $3. And my particular model is to have enough people spending just a few dollars. Because of the way we're structuring this, it can support a lot of people because it's a template that if you plug yourself into, the energy will start pulling you. But if you're a dilettante and come in every so often, you won't have that experience. Now, not everybody needs this, and there are other people that are holding the Christed energy, and if you don't need it and you say, okay, I'm together and I've holding the energy without coming into Lynn's calls, God bless you, because that's great by me. And if you found someone else to help you hold this energy, that's wonderful also, because I'm not attached to this. I'm not attached to the people that pay attention to me. I just want to do a good job. And for those of you that don't have something to hold on to, that are floating around there in this world looking at oil spills, looking at economic catastrophe, looking at Israel and Egypt and Iran and Iraq and all the potentials and the increase in natural disasters. If you don't really get the perspective from the higher realms, how could you not be scared? If you thought that this life was all there is, and that when you die, you're done and you're no more you, then your system is going to be attempting to preserve your life at all costs, because that's all there is. And how do you get confidence that there's more than that? Well, if many of you know that's true, and some of you don't, if once you know that's true, you're far less scared in this realm. There's far less susceptibility to fear, because this is, according to my information, this is one lifetime in a series of perhaps thousands. And, you know, it's kind of, if you can look at the picture of how the universe works, here is this one being that we are all part of. We are all part of one being. And that one being keeps reoccurring in all these separate forms over and over again that have forgotten they're part of it. And that each little life seems like its own individuated, separate experience. And yet, each life changes the relationship of that being, the human that went through that life, to the one infinite oneness of, I say the one infinite creator, but just say the oneness of the universe. You're constantly changing your relationship to it according to what you do in your life. And how you change your relationship is how you come back to your next life, and then to your next life, and to your next life. So normally, people just keep repeating the same patterns over many lifetimes. And very rarely do people get this level of truth. I believe it's truth that we're delivering on these calls. This perspective from the higher realms. And the fact that you're here, the fact that you're on the call, I'm telling you, you have stumbled into something that is very rare in this realm. And you may not be noting it. You may think, oh, when is like this, or when is like Eckhart Tolle, or when is like Neil Donald Walsh. And this is different. It is different. And if you study it, if you pay close attention, you will see how it's different. And there's a lot of opportunity here for many, many people. And it's not just a book to read and go home. It goes home with you. It doesn't leave you when you get it. You become part of changing your own flows so that who you are becomes, as we started this call, we were talking about being contracted into this realm. And suddenly, to uncontract means you're connected. You're connected with us. You're connected with the higher forces. You're connected with each other. You're connected with your environment. People, wherever you go, you're not just connected. You're creating connectedness. You are a creator of connectedness by your very presence. And that is the vision to attain. Can you be a creator of connectedness? And it's not about talking. It's not about introducing people to people. It could be, that's part of it, but it's about holding this energy of your heart, which then permeates the very physical environment that you stand in. And it permeates it, and it reaches and lifts those that walk through it. And that's the goal. And if you can do that even just a little bit, you will be of service. You don't have to leave what you're doing. You don't have to look for the perfect right thing to do. You have to learn how to be in an expanded space just where you are. And if that seems like a really far out idea, then open to the possibility. Open to the possibility. We have a number of things that can help. We have a program called Team Shift, teamshift.messageaday.net, where we have small groups meeting every day for 5 minutes, helping to hold the energy. I have my book, Questions and Answers with the Elohim, where the Elohim, who say they created this realm, explain how they operate, how they interface with us. We have the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, where the Ra group, the other group, explains how they interact with us and how they give us share the wisdom of what it takes to graduate this realm. And this is a big deal. It's a big deal that we're putting this out, and that it's a big deal that you're listening to me right now. It's not a small deal. It's a big deal. And that the biggest deal is, what do you do with it? Where do you go next? What's your is this just an entertaining hour, and then you go back into your life and you go contract it again? Are you going to ask yourself, how do I uncontract? How do I get out of this? What do I do? And, you know, as you start asking, answers will come to you. And it starts off with you questioning and reaching and knowing that what your experience of you is right at this moment is not who you are. It's just your experience of you right now. If you were sick in bed and suffering, and you had the flu, is that who you are? No. And that may be your experience for a couple of days, and then you're back to something else. If you're on stage and 100,000 or 10,000 people are clapping, and you're sitting there bathing in the adulation of all those people, is that who you are? No, that is not who you are. But that's just one experience of your flow. If you're a bum on Skid Row and you're begging for coins, is that who you are? No. You know, it's all the divine expression playing its part of all these different lifetimes. And, you know, one lifetime you're a beggar, next time, lifetime you're a king, and you get all these experiences as part of the schooling of this realm. Now, here I am, I'm talking a long time, and for some reason, I wanted to get that out. And I think the thing I want to get out most is the urgency of the timing right now to go through your stuff and expand, and that we are offering this, and that is a way that may work for you. And just show up for a month and see. If you haven't done it, show up and listen to our calls for a month. And ask some questions on our Wednesday night call. We don't charge for any of this, so take advantage of it. Ask some questions and see how it resonates. If you need to be anonymous, I'll keep you anonymous, and you don't have to worry about embarrassing yourself. And it's 6:35, we have 15 more minutes, and we'll bring in our sources, and we'll ask them some questions about some of these things that we have been bringing up on this call. And Terry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You are? Are you unmuted?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
That's Terry Brown. Terry has, and I have been friends for many years this lifetime, and she thinks she's known me for many lifetimes, and that she jumped in from the higher realms to save me because I got lost, which is probably true. So she's here, and she is someone that, to both of our surprise, ended up being a voice for this consciousness called the Elohim. And now we have a consciousness that identifies itself as Ra and the Elohim, two group souls, and they're making themselves available to use this circumstance for your benefit, for your chance to wake up, for your chance to be of higher service, for you to graduate this realm. At least that's the way it looks to me. So we're going to call in the light, and Terry is going to channel their voice, and I'm going to ask them some questions. And by the way, on Wednesday nights, you guys submit questions, and I ask the questions you submit. And you can ask any question you want, and I won't promise I'll ask it, but I try to ask the questions that are of the most relevance to the most people, or the most urgency to a particular individual. So if something has really got you up against the wall, and you can formulate a question, submit it to questions@messageaday.net, and there's a good chance I'll ask it. That's Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and if you're on Message a Day, you'll get a notice from me saying, listen, tonight, usually I send the notices out a half hour to an hour before the calls. So what I'm going to do is call in the light, and calling in the light is basically an invocation to the law of one. It's bringing in oneness, oneness with each other, and oneness with our sources. Father, Mother, God, we ask just now for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the positive center of the universe through the galaxies, through the center of the galaxy, through our planetary solar system, through the outer energies of the Earth, through our bodies, and through our feet, and grounded into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness, a blending of the energies of everyone on this line. And we invite those forces that are positive, service to others, operating in the law of one, to join with us and create a protected space that only the positive can enter, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And take just a moment, shut your eyes. And if you feel an energy on the top of your head, you are now making connection with our sources. Some of you feel it. Some of you are feeling it for the first time, and you're surprised. That's it. I'm going to turn it over to Terry and let them say hello, make any comments on the things I was saying, and I'll ask them some questions.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you this July 5th, 2010. On planet Earth, we are focused not only through Terry Brown in Sedona, Arizona, but we are focused in connection with each and every person on the line and each and every person who listens to the call at a later date and each and every person who reads the transcription. We take a minute to greet you, and we welcome the connection, and we are there bringing love light into the very dense third density. Do you have questions?
Yes. You know, I brought up the idea of urgency, that there's a timeline, and that it's been in our readings that there's not a lot of time to drag your feet. if you're someone that actually takes this seriously and wants to graduate this realm, and they decide right now, okay, I want to do that, how much time do they need to readjust their patterns so that they can meet the criteria? And can you comment on the things that I said earlier about intention and faith in connection with this process?
The individual is a part of all that is, and as such is open in some manner to the energy and the love light of all that is as it is moving into the manifest realm. Faith is what can move mountains. As when one has intention and faith that the intention is sound and available and coming into existence, then it rearranges all around it, depending upon how far it encompasses it. As one person said, if you have the earth and the individuals on it believe that it is flat, how come the earth isn't flat? The earth isn't flat because their beliefs do not encompass all of the processes and the magnitude and the systems through which earth manifests. So when one has faith within their own matrix and their own sphere, and then they connect to a higher source, such as ourselves, such as Elohim and Ra, and the progress of the star systems, of the earth, and one knows one is a part of that, and one remains open to change, and at the higher level has the faith that they will be all right, that they can move at any time into a sphere that is total love, as it is open to all to move into, then one will always be all right, no matter what the physical circumstances may be. Do you have further questions?
Yes. I mean, I've said that just by attending these conference calls regularly and diligently, even when you don't feel like it, if you do it for a couple, 3 months, there's a pretty good chance you'll start catching the wave of it. Is that true?
Yes. As the frequencies that we carry are open on the line and on the radio waves, and we carry it to each every individual who is open to receive this. So by exposure over and over, one begins to grasp and sense and become sensitive to the frequencies and then can use these frequencies as a carrier wave to bring their own self higher and expand their awareness into realms beyond the seen spectrum, into unseen spectrums wherein the individual is safe and loved and cared for.
Thank you. You know, this is the 4th of July, and I'm going to ask a question concerning the 4th of July. The Declaration of Independence said, I should have this in front of me, all men created equal under God. This country was founded with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think that was the word. For everybody. It seems to me whoever wrote that was a student of the Law of One, and that there was an intention to create in this country an environment for spiritual evolution. Is that true? And what happened? We have about 2 minutes.
That is true, and it still is there as a framework. However, what happened was that individuals have their own distortions and begin to sway things in the direction of bringing in more money for them and their particular associates. And as they bring in this money, they become jaded and they think that they are better than the others who do not have such money. And they do not remember that the creation of this wealth was based upon the participation of the whole. And so they become top heavy with ego. And they then begin to feel that they can have power over the structures and to bring them more money and over the corporations and feel that they are better than the others. And so this colors their whole view and their actions, and they get into the framework as the framework changes.
Thank you. On that note, and that was our 4th of July question, we're going to say goodbye to everybody. Now, when our sources say goodbye, they say, we leave you, but we do not leave. And I believe what they mean by that is that as you tune into their frequencies, you can stay tuned in, even though you're not listening to them talk, and even though you're not on this line. So I send the blessing out to each of you that you can practice holding that energy, bringing those frequencies, staying above the waterline of all the hardship and difficulties that I know many of you are going through in this realm. And I hope some of you will take the cue and start joining us in our other conference calls. You can get the numbers on our website, conference.messageaday.net. You should subscribe to messageaday.net. You'll get messages every day with transcriptions of our sources. And just inundate yourself with this energy that is coming through this circumstance that we're creating here for your own expansion. I wish you all the end of July 5th, a holiday, a work holiday for many of you. I thank everybody that's on the conference right now that's helping us hold the energies. for being a trooper and being here three times a week. And I thank our sources and BBS Radio. And we'll see some of you on Wednesday. And send your questions, questions@messageaday.net. God bless you all.
Press 1 to stop recording. This conference is no longer being recorded.